Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Here's a great interview on audio marketing. It's called How to Turn Your Audios into Lead Generators Even When Your Market is Narrow and Corporate. Scott's a pharmaceutical rep who's written a book and done a few audio interviews on sales and persuasion. He'd like to be able to use these audios as lead generators to get a consulting practice going. But because his niche market's very narrow, which is vice presidents of pharmaceutical companies, he's not sure how to do it, so he's come to me for some advice. In order to market to such a narrow niche, Scott really needs to do a little research to find out what's keeping this market up at night. If he can research and sell to the people's insecurities and help them solve a problem, they'll call him time and time again. And in this audio, you're going to hear all about it. You'll also hear how to make it easy for every mobile phone user to listen to your audio interviews. You'll learn some ideas for getting your audios promoted to other people's lists. You'll learn 3 strategic locations. You'll want to put your contact information in your audio interview. You'll learn how to capture contact information while qualifying prospects on your website. You'll learn safeguards you'll want to place in before you do any joint ventures. You'll learn how to find a good audio editor, where to look, how to describe the job, and how much you should expect to pay. You'll also learn how to sell experts on the ideas of doing an interview with you, especially if they're a little nervous about it being unscripted. Audio interviews are an incredible way to pre-sell you and your expertise, to build your credibility no matter what your market is like. And in this audio interview, you're going to hear some of my best ideas for turning your audios into lead generators that you need. Thanks for listening. Now let's get going. Okay, what do you want to sell?
So what I want to sell is I want to sell training programs, and I want to sell consulting.
And you want to specifically focus on the vice presidents of pharmaceutical companies?
Well, usually the people who are doing the buying, because they usually have the sales challenges and they're looking for new solutions.
All right. So this is a new project for you?
This is a new project. My day job is still, I am a salesperson in the pharmaceutical industry.
How is your track record as a pharmaceutical sales rep?
It's outstanding. It's very good.
Are you with one of the big pharmaceutical companies now?
Right. 3 years ago, I was with one of the biggest companies. They're the third largest.
Which one?
That one was Sanofi Aventis. And the one I'm with right now, I'd almost rather not say it because I'm still with them.
Okay, that's fine. How do you compare to other reps around the country? Are you number one guy?
Sure. So right now there's 400 people selling the same products. I'm number 3 right now in the country. But consistently, it's not always that high, but I'm consistently within the top 20%. And there's a little bit more to the background, too. So several years ago, my manager said, how are you doing this? And I said, well, I use a lot of what I learned about persuasion in graduate school. And she says, Deep, could you do a presentation at our meeting? I said, yes. That led to several more. The next thing you know, they're flying me in and out to train some of the people at the initial sales school. So I know that there's interest in the topic.
How many other trainings have you done?
I've probably done maybe 20 over the years.
And you did them for free?
Yeah, I do them as part of the company. I've done 2 paid ones so far.
What'd they pay you?
They pay me a couple $1,000, but again, it's in addition to the salary that they're already paying me.
So you felt kind of obligated to do it as a team player?
Yeah, it's sort of fun for me. I like doing it. I think it's a valuable topic.
Did you ever record any of the trainings?
I have, but the recording quality is horrible.
Is there an opportunity for you to do more trainings?
Yeah.
And even though you're in front of their people, could you get the rights to it? Like, say, look, I don't mind doing these trainings for you, but I'd like to record these and have the rights to use them for whatever.
I could do that, and I've got a couple coming up from companies that are not my own company, so I can pop rights to those as well.
if you can get the rights to do these trainings and keep doing them and pay a videographer to come in and, you know, have a microphone on you and have them videotape you, or video and audio, and that may be the product, especially if you can have the rights and say, hey, this is me right here training employees from X, and if you can use the name, that's good proof element and credibility if you're able to use the pharmaceutical company's name, and then start selling those trainings. I mean, you can sell consulting, and that's fine, the one-on-one stuff. That's going to eat up your time. I think you should develop these trainings of you doing them in front of these people, or are you doing PowerPoint presentations with this?
Yeah.
So you could take all that and put that online. Then you have a product that you can market and hustle, and it takes you out of the picture, and you're not out flying all over the country doing these physical trainings for the rest of your life. You can do them for a year and really nail down and collect maybe the best 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 of them and have the rights to duplicate those, and then you got something with some real meat to sell.
Let me throw a couple other things in here that may be relevant. So right now I have a book, too. I have a self-published book, and where I'm at with this right now is I'm actually getting people that are calling me up and saying, hey, Scott, we know that you do this. We're interested in having you in next year during our sessions, and so we're talking about possibly consulting. Now, some of these consulting things with these companies, we're talking about $50,000, $60,000 if you can solve a tough problem. So the training is nice. I love the idea of having passive income and an audio product that I can sell online, but we're talking about a very narrow niche that is highly competitive. So probably where the money would be for me, and I believe me, I've researched this inside and out, would be in the consulting. And the training itself, the getting in front of people for an hour and talking about persuasion, that's sort of a means to get to the consulting end. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's fine. If you're comfortable and you like it and that sounds like great money, go for it.
Yeah, so now what I'm interested in is I'm kind of getting these feelers out there. So I have some audio recordings with experts in my industry based on your advice, by the way. And so I'm getting people that are sort of calling, and I like that. But my interest is really finding out how you're taking your audio and getting it out there and turning that audio that may be on iTunes or maybe somewhere on the internet, turning that into a phone call. So a vice president of sales at a company calls me up and says, would you do this for us?
Yeah, okay. People are listening to your audios and you're getting inquiries, correct?
Yeah.
And the real money, from what I understand you're saying, is these consulting gigs. These people calling, are they potential clients for consulting gigs?
Very few of them are. They're usually one level removed. So some of these guys can make decisions about having me come in and do, for example, a $5,000 training. But it's usually their boss that can make the decision about, wow, this guy's got something here, and we can use this to make $1 million if we pay him $50,000.
All right, so why are they calling you?
Sometimes they're referrals. So, for example, a lot of my friends in this industry have kind of become decision makers. And so they talk amongst themselves, and one guy will talk to the other guy, and they'll say, hey, you know, Scott has a lot of interesting stuff on persuasion. And the guy I don't know will say, oh, that's interesting. And the guy will say, hey, you should give him a call. Here's his number. So it's usually word of mouth. But the audio recordings have led to that word of mouth. So the guys I know brings my name up because maybe he's just heard one of my audio recordings, or he's just received an email off of my autoresponder with some interesting ideas on the topic.
What these audios are going to do for you, and what they've done for me for years and years, is pre-sell. It's to warm them up, to pre-sell your expertise and your credibility. And if you're interviewing a real expert within the field, just by you interviewing them in that association, it increases your credibility. So it's just a tool to take you out of the picture and do a little pre-selling. So by the time they're calling you, you're positioned well. And then, you know, I would take that call and then I would set an appointment for a more detailed analysis where you can sit down and talk to them, whether it's face-to-face or by phone, and see if they can lead you to a decision maker to come in for a presentation to show them what you can do for them. So the audios are lead generators, and they soften them up, they position you, they give you a little credibility. They're calling you, so that positioning is golden. It just makes it easier. If you didn't have the audios, then you got to start calling on people to try and, over the phone, deliver the credibility that that person has heard through one of your interviews. It's going to be tough. You're just way ahead of the game by having those interviews out there positioning you.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
Tell me about marketing the audios, because where I'm at with this is these are busy people that I'm targeting. When they listen to the audios, they go, wow, this is good stuff, and they'll usually listen to it. But getting them to take time to download the MP3 to their iPod, to listen to it over their computer, that's my challenge. Do you have any strategies for...
Sure. There are some strategies. With my site, I try and make it as easy as possible and give multiple ways for them to digest and get that audio in their brain. There are people who read faster than they listen, so I type up the transcripts and have them available in a PDF file. You could have those audios in a PDF where they can print them out, download them, or read them. I've been experimenting and taking the entire 60-page transcript, and I'll put it in Notepad as a text file, and I'll send out an email to my list and have the entire transcript in an email, even though it's 20 pages, right there. Because these executives are on their mobile phones, okay? They can all read text messages in an email. You get a lot of people reading their email on the phone. If you're doing some email marketing, or if you want to put that transcript and a link to the audio in front of them, I would do that in an email. Have the entire transcripts of the audio as a text file in an email. I'd have it as a PDF file that they could download. I would have it as an MP3 file that they can download. I'll email you a resource where you can take that audio recording and upload it to a free service, and then if you have an executive who doesn't know how to download an audio on their smartphone, or it's hard to access the audio through their phone, they can dial a phone number. It's like a long voicemail recording. So they'll dial a phone number, and then there's an access code. Let's say you have 4 or 5 interviews. You can set up 4 or 5 phone numbers, and you could provide just the phone number to the person. All they have to do is dial it with their cell phone, and the audio will start to play, so they can listen right on their phone without having to download and without having to access the mobile web. Do you know what I'm saying?
That is a beautiful suggestion. A lot of what I'm seeing is a lot of BlackBerry emails coming.
Oh, yeah. Do not discount mobile. You're getting more and more people there reading their email on their phone. I mean, don't you? Don't I? I mean, you bring it into the bathroom, you check your email. I'm telling you, don't discount your mobile phone users. That is where it's going. So you got to make that available. And a lot of people, their phones aren't powerful enough to go to a website and to download and all that. The iPhones are, but that's a very small percentage of people who know how to do it. So having a phone number that they can dial and listen to the audio, so you can do a short email to listen to this full-on interview with this expert from whatever it is, dial this phone number, and all they got to do is touch it on their smartphone, it'll highlight it, dial it, and then they're listening to the audio through their speaker or just holding it up to their ear.
Oh, that is a beautiful suggestion. So one, put the transcript right in the email, even 20 pages. Yeah. Two, you're going to send me a link to the phone number that plays the audio.
Yeah, I'll show you how to get that set up.
Oh, that's great.
So a combination email, you can say, here's a phone number. If you dial it with your phone, you know, or highlight it with your BlackBerry, call this number and you'll hear a 60-minute interview. You know, you write the description of what they're going to hear. If you don't want to listen online, you can read the transcripts that are in this email below.
These guys are on airplanes, they're in airports, this is good stuff.
And most of them have unlimited plans, so they're paying for their talk time, but a lot of them have unlimited, so they're not worrying about the bill.
Any other suggestion for the BlackBerry crowd?
That's going to be as easy as it gets, is a text email and then that phone number with that service. I can't see any easier way to get audio or a transcript in front of them. Now, another option you can think of, if you can get a list of these vice presidents, you know, one good account could be worth 50, 60 grand to you. You can invest doing a test, mailing out to 1,000 of these VPs your audio recordings. Or you can send out a CD with one of them, and then on the CD or with a letter, you can say to access this recording, this recording, this recording, you can go here and send them to a website, or you can mail them a simple letter that says there's 6 numbers below. If you call each one of these numbers, each one will reveal an hour interview on how I was able to be #1 pharmaceutical rep using persuasion techniques. And just mail them a letter with each one of the access numbers that they can call from their phone, or give them a website where they can go download them and just send them a letter. Go direct.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I put some more things on CD and actually just send it right out.
You could do an actual CD, or you can just go a simple letter, a personal letter, you know, and have in the letter access to the phone numbers or a link to your website, you know, with the descriptions of what they're going to hear. Here's what you're going to get. Here's what it'll do for you, and here's how to get it. And just send them to it.
One other question I have for you around audio, and it was a suggestion that came from some of your recordings. What I'm doing is there are people out there that already have customers that are my target audience. And so when I call them, sometimes they'll say, you know, one of the things we could do is I have the ability to record audio and do an interview and take a listen to a couple of them. You'll see that they turn out pretty good. So two questions, I guess. One is about how to leverage that to turn it into sort of a true relationship and joint marketing. And two, I got a guy the other day, he followed up that comment with, well, Scott, what's the investment on that? Because I said one of the benefits of this, of course, is you can take that audio, turn it into a CD, send it out to people, send it over email, kind of what we're talking about now. Should I make a side business by just charging some of these people to do this? Now, I know this is one of the things that you do.
You can, but I'll tell you, the real world, from my experience, I have very few people who request me to do that. I don't know if it goes along with the fear of speaking. Most people don't have the confidence to do it. Over all the years, how many people have come to me wanting me to do audio so they can promote it? I can count it on one hand. The market just isn't there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been in front of the market, and I certainly have a lot of interviews, and, you know, it surprises me that more people haven't requested that I do it. Maybe I'm asking too much money. I mean, I'm asking a couple thousand dollars, but you need to get that because it's very time intensive and labor intensive. I think you're better off going with more leveraged things. It's a very labor and time intensive thing to do it. I would stay away from it if I were you. I think you're better off creating products that you can sell that take you out of the picture rather than bring you into it.
So now another idea that you had, and tell me if this is something that may pan out or if it's just sort of a chasing rainbow type of thing.
Right, wait, before you do that, you had another part of the question. Let's say someone listens to your audio and that audio is a good lead generator, maybe has been proven to be a good lead generator for you, and that person has a list of people who could benefit from that. By all means, get them to distribute that audio to their list as a favor, just as a value-added thing. If they have a list of colleagues or people they could benefit from your information on, maybe how to bump up your closing rate 10%, and they have access to a bunch of sales reps in the pharmaceutical industry, it'd be real nice of them to send that audio to share the wealth and pass it on to their colleagues. And then in turn, that's great for you because it's you doing some automated selling, and they're endorsing it to their people. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that audio is a little moneymaker. It's a lead generator and it's a sales pitch. Even though it's you doing a great interview, you're giving value, you're building credibility, you're selling yourself, you're positioning yourself, and that's all part of the sale. And you never know who's going to be listening to that and who calls you.
So, for example, I know somebody who has a big list. This audio would work well with their customer base, so I send it out. Now, one of the things I have embedded in the audio, based on your suggestion, is for more information on this, go to www. Now, have you found any particular sort of enticement freebie that tends to lead people back to your website more than others? Because I've said, you know, for more information like this, for more audio interviews, you can come back to my website. But I'm just wondering if you found something that tends to sort of maximize the effectiveness of getting them back.
Well, you know, if the content matches what they want to know and there's some value there, throughout my recordings you'll hear I have it in three separate places, 10 minutes in, about, you know, 30 minutes in, and at the end. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. If you'd like to hear more expert interviews on this, 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 and this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. I do it three times through the interview, and I would recommend you do the same thing. 10 minutes in, halfway in, and then at the end, because some people will listen and they'll get distracted and won't get to the very end. Don't just save it for the very end. But what you want to do is, if you've delivered some value and they liked what they heard, they're going to go to that site. I'd also have your phone number at the end as well so they could call you if they wanted to. But at your site, I would definitely have a way to capture their name and email address or some contact information. You could have it where you force them to enter their email and name before they get to the other stuff, you know, a squeeze page, or you could leave it open and have a box there where you give them the opportunity to log in.
Does one seem to work better than the other?
It goes both ways. If you're forcing people, you're going to lose people. If you give them a choice, I think those are more qualified. You know, if you're delivering the value, they're going to get in touch with you, believe me. It's just like you may have had 100 people listen to your recording, but only a certain amount called. But those are the people you want to talk to are the ones you filter out on the other end. You know what I'm saying? Because they've got the highest level of interest. They picked up the phone. They went to your site. They called you. You know, they're interested if they're calling you.
Okay, gotcha. You know, one of the things I've seen you do on iTunes is I'll search general business topics and poof, There you are. And it amazes me how many times I've seen your recordings on iTunes. Now, tell me if this is intentional, what you're doing. When I pull them up, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of individual recordings under each category. It seems like there's maybe one recording or two recordings. Is the best idea to sort of spread it out and be seen in a bunch of different...
You know, iTunes is like a little mini search engine, so I may have advertising, copywriting, business buying. I'm not sure how many categories they offered. iTunes offers the category list, so you're limited by what they offer. I'm pretty sure they give you the choices of what category you're going to be on. So we have just about all my recordings on iTunes, kind of like spam, you know. I'm glad you say that, because if you're searching around iTunes, you're going to see me, and I get leads from iTunes. People on iTunes searching for stuff to put on their phones and stuff, and that's how a lot of people are introduced to me. So I want to be there when people are searching for business or copywriting who maybe have never heard of me. If your stuff is on persuasion, you got to look at the iTunes categories and see what's offered. But by using your, I'm pretty sure it's keyword searchable, you do have an opportunity for a description when you post your thing up on iTunes, I believe. I think some of the keywords are relevant if people are searching. So I'd find out what are the keywords really being searched for, whether it's sales training, NLP, persuasion, pharmaceutical sales. You got to do some keyword research and find out what is it people are looking for.
Can you do that on iTunes?
You may be able to. If you can, I don't know how. But I think if you do some keyword research in the search engines, it would probably cross over to iTunes.
You know, Michael, some of these people that I'm talking to, some of the people that I'm interviewing, these are people that are doing training in this industry already, and some of them go in and they do a two-day training and they walk out with 40 grand. Now, one of the things that I've thought about is, as these audios get more exposure, as they get more exposure, is asking for a referral fee. For example, putting my name and number at the end for more information about Bob, call Scott. Does that ever pan out for you? Because I know that's something that you do.
Yeah, it does pan out. Not in a big way. You're always going to make more money selling your own stuff. But if you can set it up, now you have to be real careful. If you have a deal and let's say you've interviewed a guy who does these trainings and you make an agreement and you know he's effective on the other end. So if a lead comes in and he takes care of it and he follows up and he'll go in and do the training, if you approach him with a joint venture deal, you can say, hey, I'd like to promote your training using the audio that we did together. And if you can get it in writing and you feel confident about it, there are some things that you can do to control the flow of those leads. So instead of sending them directly to his phone number for more information, so when you interview him, instead of saying, hey, can you tell everyone how to get in touch with you? And then he gives his phone number, and so you do all the marketing and you get that interview out and you've got an agreement that he's going to pay you a commission on anyone who signs up for his training that heard about it through you, then he's got you by the balls, because you don't know if he's going to be honest with you when someone calls. He doesn't have to tell you someone called from your recording, and you would never know, right? So what you do is you set up your own phone number and you control the phone number. You can go to call8.com, K-A-L-L, number8.com. You can get an 800 number for your U.S. market, or you can get a regular old area code number from different cities that you control. And then what you do is when you interview them, you say, can you tell everyone how to get in touch with you? And you tell them, here's the number you're going to give. And you tell them you use this for tracking. And then so he gives your phone number that you control. And then when someone calls that number, it will forward the call to his cell phone or to whatever number he wants to take the call in, because there's a place in the control panel where you want the call forwarded. And you have an option to record the call. So when someone calls, it says this call may be recorded for quality assurance. So the caller calls, then you'll get a copy of the conversation. When someone calls, you don't have to record it, but you'll have a list of every phone number that comes in from that recording. Do you see what I'm saying? You're controlling the number, so you have evidence that that call originated from your recording. For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
So you're keeping them honest. Do you tell them that up front?
I do. I say, here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to spend all my money, marketing, and effort promoting you and your seminars. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to control the flow of leads. I'm going to distribute our interview to qualified prospects. They're going to call my phone number. It's going to be forwarded to you, and then you'll take and handle the lead just as if the call came directly to you. And anyone who results in a sale, you're going to pay me X amount. You know, you just make the agreement. But let him know if there's any funny business that you can say, here's how I work. If I find that anyone who has called you from my marketing efforts, from my recording, will stop forwarding the calls to you, and I'll have to take the calls myself or forward them to someone, a competitor of yours. You know, you just tell them that the flow of leads will stop. You're in control, and they will know that, and they would be stupid to try and screw you. But at least you have a way to control that lead. But there's going to be another issue, and I've done this too. When you're interviewing him, you know, you want to try and keep his last name out too, or maybe the name of the company.
The time that you put into these interviews takes forever.
Yeah, it does.
And I know that you've suggested going to guru.com or one of the other sites. How can I find an editor that will do a good job? Is there a certain way I should describe the job? How do you do it?
There's a lot of, like, audiophiles who understand editing. You know, they know what to do. They've got experience in editing, and you can put an ad up on Elance.com and outsource it and find someone to do the editing. You could provide them a sample of one of your recordings and say, I want you to use this as a model of how I want my editing. I want you to remove all the ums, the ahs, the ands, the pauses, the crackling, the popping, the hissing. I want you to adjust any unlevel volumes between myself and the caller. I want you to clean this recording up and get it production ready, and that's what I'm going to pay you for. You write your expectations of what you want. You can have them do a sample recording, like a 30-minute one or an hour, to see if it's good, and they'll send it back to determine is that good enough for your standards, and you're going to have to pay them, yeah. Takes time.
What's a reasonable price to pay for that?
I'm going to say $20 an hour. You should be able to find an editor. A good audio recording may take 3 or 4 or 5 hours. It depends who you're talking to and how it goes. You know, if you pay $100 for an edited audio that's done really well, I think you're doing fine. It's worth it. If you produce 10 of them and it costs you $1,000 to get them edited, that editing will go a long way in your presentation. The listener will really do you a favor. Don't skimp on the editing, because that's your sales pitch. That's your first impression, you know, and that can lead to a $60,000 account, which will pay for plenty of editing for you.
You know, one of the challenges that I have is my target market is narrow and it's corporate. Any suggestions on how to angle audio in terms of marketing, getting it into their ears for that audience?
You know, I was talking to a guy about this the other day because he said these guys don't have time to read all this stuff. But someone will read something, no matter how busy they are, if they're really interested in it. So when you're doing your audio and you're doing your interviews, you should really do your research and find out what are the pain points, where are these executives frustrated, what's keeping them up at night, and make sure you are answering and providing the content in that interview. These guys are all afraid of probably losing their job in today's economy. I mean, would you say that's true?
Absolutely.
You've seen a lot of people getting canned unexpectedly. My brother was just telling me, he's with a big company, he was telling me that big vice president got canned. Everyone's fearing their job, especially poor performers. You know, you can say, are you afraid of getting fired because your productions are down? Well, here's one guy who could help you keep your job and make you look like a star for the company. They all want to look like stars to their boss, and they all want to keep their job security. And if they can introduce you and bring you into the company, you got to market to that insecurity. Sell to the insecurity. And the information you're providing, just overload them with awesome content. Don't tell them how to do everything, but just give some great value, and they'll appreciate it, and they'll call you for more information on how it can apply to their business specifically. Not all of them, but a percentage will.
Right, and that's all you need.
Yeah, how many big $50,000, $60,000 accounts? You do 3 or 4 of those a year, you're happy.
Absolutely.
Why don't you send me a link? I'd love to hear a couple of your interviews, and I'll listen to one. Who have you interviewed?
I've interviewed some people on negotiation.
Any big names?
This guy's name is Ron Lambert. He runs a company called the Yukon Group. I interviewed Bob Cialdini, who wrote the book Influence.
Oh, you got an interview with him?
Yeah.
Good job. Okay. That's a big one right there.
You know, the funny thing is, I look at the interviews that people listen to. That guy's the most legitimate of anybody I've talked to, and there's just something about it. People aren't picking up on him as much as I thought they would.
Well, a lot of people don't know who he is.
A lot of people don't. You know, and he's an academic guy, so he's not out there like Tom Hopkins marketing himself in that way.
Yeah.
He has a certain academic reputation to uphold. He can't make big promises because it's anti-scientific. So I interviewed him. Oh, a couple of people that you wouldn't really know.
So did you really grill him? How did it go?
I talked to him for probably just slightly over an hour, but I edited the audio down to the best 20 minutes.
Just 20 minutes, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, there's some other good stuff. I could probably make a part two. He's a very thoughtful guy, so there was a lot to edit out.
But what was the interview about? Was it specifically keeping in mind pharmaceutical sales rep? What was the focus of it?
It was selling pharmaceutical products face-to-face with doctors. You could apply it to just about anything. You just have to take the word doctor out and put customer in there.
And look, you know, you can use your expertise. You've been in the field X amount of years. You're in the top 3% out of your whole company. You're doing something that other people aren't doing. So there's nothing wrong with positioning yourself as an expert based on what you're learning.
Definitely.
You know, if you can get some good endorsements from some big names, you know, it's all about the credibility. Like within the pharmaceutical sales industry, are there superstars in that industry that everyone knows about?
You know, there's probably a lot of the same people that the average person would know about. The big names, of course, are people like Anthony Robbins. There's a guy named Charlie Brennan. He's probably as close as you'll get to a motivational guy within the industry. And I called him and I asked him if he wanted to do an interview, and he really wasn't interested in it. And I can't quite figure out why. I think part of it is, you know, when these guys get up on stage, that's an art form. They know exactly what to say at exactly the right time to get the response. And I think what you were saying earlier, when they're sort of faced with this idea that they can't go through their pat routine, you know, they get a little nervous. I may not come off as shining as I usually do on stage, and that could ruin things.
Well, you got to say, look, it's just you and me on the phone. I'm going to be recording. It's like a movie. We do all the editing. I'll make you sound as good as possible. We can take anything you want out. We can put stuff in. It's not like you're talking to a bunch of people. It's just you and I talking, like having a fireside conversation. And that's how I want to position it. And I'm just going to talk about some things that you think can help some other reps out there. And that's it. You just keep it real casual.
You know, that's a great suggestion, because you really do have to sell them on the idea of just sitting down and doing the interview.
Yeah, you're going to be on your phone. I'm going to be on my phone. I'll do the recording. We're just going to chat like two people having a beer. Hopefully you can share some ideas that can help some of these reps out there do a little bit better. That's it. You know, you can offer him the edited interview that he can use, as long as it's not going to compete with you, which it probably wouldn't. They'll probably most likely won't do anything with it anyway. But just say, look, I'll provide you a master. You can use the interview if you want to share with whoever you want, your colleagues or potential prospects. You're more than welcome to do so.
You know, the few that I've done, too, I've said, listen, before I even put it out there, I will send it to you. If there's anything you don't like, I'll edit it right out.
Yeah. You know what? You don't even have to promise that anymore. Most people, they understand. And, you know, I used to say that. I don't even offer it anymore, because a lot of times they won't even listen to it anyway.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I'd love to hear, and I'll listen to it, and I'll give you a little review on, you know, how I think you can do a little bit better. No problem.
That would be fantastic. I'll send something out to you tonight when I get home.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, Michael, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. Your program is fantastic, and hopefully I'll talk to you again soon.
I'll follow up at that email a little later with getting the stuff up on that phone system.
That.
All right, take it easy.
Bye. Bye-bye.
That's the end of my interview with Scott. I hope it's been helpful, and I hope you use some of these ideas to help market yourself. Using audio interviews is incredibly powerful, because it takes you out of the picture. And if you want to learn all my other secrets about how I've been able to do this, go to my Audio Marketing Secrets product. I've got a special on it right now, and all you do is go to hardtofindseminars.com/ all capitals, capital AMS. .htm. That's hardtofindseminars.com/AMS.htm, and you'll see a special offer for my complete audio marketing secrets course. Thanks for listening. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.